Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is October 11th, 2013, and this is Episode 38A, Nocturne in the Moonlight, a GameBuoy Spooky Spotlight Spectacular on Castlevania. So yeah, due to real-life scheduling issues, we are going to be recording, and thus uploading, this week's GameBuoy in two parts. You're currently listening to part one, which is cool, and part two, which will be up, probably by the time you hear this, honestly, because we love you all out there in internet radio land. Part two is where the actual discussion on Castlevania will take place, and we might just have a really special guest from the Koopa Club podcast to help us cover it, so please look forward to that. One last thing before we really get started in earnest, though, I'd like to begin with a slight piece of errata. I mistakenly referred last week to the unskippable torture sequence in Grand Theft Auto V as being inflicted onto a woman. I now understand the scene in question to be involving the torture of a man, and while my problem with the sequence was not one strictly rooted in misogyny, but rather a severe distaste for even the very idea of an obligatory torture sequence, you know, I still felt like it would be really important to correct myself on air and let y'all know, you know, what really the real circumstance is, because I have no wish to mislead anyone. I suppose, when all is said and done, I should probably make it a point to play Grand Theft Auto V for purposes of actually discussing it here on the show without coming off like an increasingly bigger banana head. And hey, maybe we could have a conversation about violence in games, huh?
Well, I hear that there's a character that's like prison gay.
Hashtag here for it. With all of that out of the way, in any event, we have a super big slate of our usual follow-ups and news bits tonight, which obviously works out well, since that's basically going to be the entirety of part one of this episode this week. So, in the interest of your time and our own, let's get this party started.
Like that Pink song, Raise Your Glass.
Slagkick, would you like to start us off?
Yes, because this is one very near and dear to my heart, as well as yours. GamerX 2 has officially been announced as being from July 11th through 13th, 2014.
What?
So it's going to be a 3.5-day con instead of a 2.5-day con.
Exciting.
And it's going to be held in San Francisco once again.
Excellent.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've talked about how many wonderful feels and memories we've had from the first GamerX. So
many feelings.
There'll be a couple returning bosses of honor. There's going to be some new ones, including David Gator from BioWare.
Oh, excellent.
And also, something notable for me is that one of the musicians is going to be Vert of...
Yes, we've like, talked about Vert here on the air quite a bit.
Everything amazing fame, but specifically all those great Way Forward games with amazing, amazing music.
Also, Tumelo, whom you might be familiar with from the mashup Chrono Jigga.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So, yeah, this is really exciting. Of course, Ellen McLean is going to be there. John Patrick Lowry is going to be there. Zach Wienersmith is going to be there.
The two gay bears are going to get married there.
Yes, the two gay bears are going to get married. I'm sure that you've seen the video on the internet. It was kind of everywhere that these dudes proposed at the voice acting panel this year. I almost said last year, but that's still this year. next year, they're going to get married at the con, so that's super exciting.
Yeah, so it's going to be at the Intercontinental Hotel. We're not getting paid for this. We just want to share the news.
Yeah, no, super exciting.
Although, I do have a complaint about this joystick article. It did not mention Podcast Crosszone, which was, I believe, the highlight of the con. So,
girl, take it easy.
Do you want to take this next one?
I wanted to point out that Cards Against Humanity is also going to be a sponsor.
That's right.
And I'm super stoked about that. That's one of my favorite party games.
I hope that the booster pack, I mean, presuming that there's a booster pack, is just all, like, Pac-Man uncontrollably guzzling cum. You can never have enough of that card.
Yeah, no, I agree. So the con is going to be taking place July 11th to 13th, 2014.
Yes, at the Intercontinental.
At the Intercontinental.
There's going to be
more
space.
There are tickets on sale presently. There's going to be way more space. I think it's going to be a really great time. GameBuoy will definitely be there. I know that all of the other podcasts from the Podcast Cross Zone are all talking about going again. We are certainly all talking about doing another panel as well. It's still in early days. I make no promises. We are also discussing maybe doing some kind of cocktail mixer and or party. I make no promises, but please let us know what you think, and please look forward to it. Next up on the agenda, as you were saying, I think you were saying something about this being an important story for me.
Yes.
Mighty Number 9 is going to be heading to the Nintendo 3DS and PlayStation Vita.
I'm basically just going to quadruple dip at this point.
Yeah, right? Me too. I'm going to be rebuying this thing on so many platforms. You know, the Kickstarter ended, including the PayPal totals. They did cross the $4 million mark. So, you know, clearly Capcom was right that there's no money to be made on Mega Man. And also, super, 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 super awesome is that Mega Man 2 sound composer Takashi Tateishi is going to be joining Keiji Inafune's team to help score Mighty No. 9. This, of course, is like the best possible coolest news ever because LBR here, Mega Man 2 has some of the most renowned music of the series. And that's a series that is well renowned for its music, I tell you what.
Yep.
Would you like to take this next one, Mr. Slagkick?
Well, yeah, can I take the next two?
I think you can.
So we've got some returning favorites from Smash Brothers Brawl. That would be Sonic and Toon Link. Although Toon Link was also in Melee, right? No, wait, because Melee was... Was Toon Link in Melee? I always forget.
Toon Link was not in Melee.
That's right, because that was probably too soon, or was it before Wind Waker? My timeline for GameCube is a little mixed up right now, but
there was young Link or something, but it wasn't Toon Link.
Right. So they are both returning from Brawl, like I thought. So that might be exciting news for both of you.
Two listeners out there in internet radio
land.
That's
not what I meant.
Both of you.
That's not what I meant. I meant both of those might be exciting for you or one or the other.
You know, I gotta tell you, Slykick, I am in great spirits tonight.
Is it because Pokemon X and Y is almost out?
It is, yeah. If we're lucky, we will be downloading it in just about an hour, which also means...
Okay, let's keep this episode moving.
We'll get this episode done soon.
So, Eternal Darkness... I'm sorry, Shadow of the Eternals is officially on hold because two Kickstarters have failed so far. Next item on the news agenda.
You know, that's sad. I had a lot of...
Do we really need to talk more about Shadow of the Eternals?
For about 15 seconds. I know you're in a rush, but Pokemon is not going to get here any faster. There is a timeline that is dictated by Nintendo and not us. I had hoped this game was going to get made... I obviously had a lot of trepidations about personally supporting it, but I still intended on purchasing it once it existed. So this is a bummer. Obviously, anything that results in game makers making fewer games, that's never a desirable thing as far as I'm concerned. But certainly long term, hopefully this will be the best for everyone. Hopefully they
Your 15 seconds are up. Thank you, Mr. Timer.
Hopefully they can go back to the drawing board. That was well played. Hopefully they can go back to the drawing board, find out what isn't working about their pitch, and get it fixed so that, you know, everyone can win.
Yep. Okay.
Fine. You take this one. Have fun. Have fun talking about Monster Hunter.
It's just Monster Hunter Frontier G.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Yeah. They're updating it to G3, and that update is coming in just a few days on October 16th.
This is, of course, in Japan only.
Yeah.
You're really not going to talk about Monster Hunter Frontier G3 at all, are you?
Why would I really want to talk about that one?
Okay, you're right. We just spent quite a bit of time last episode talking about how awful Monster Hunter Frontier is. Fine, tell me about Surgeon Simulator 2013 possibly coming to iPad.
Surgeon Simulator 2013 is possibly coming to the iPad.
Oh, awesome! And this, in a rather very sad follow-up, the CCO of Sega Sammy, Toshihiro Nagoshi-san, recently told Edge magazine that the Yakuza development team in Japan is focusing on the Japan exclusive PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 and Vita title Yakuza Ishin, rather than localizing 2012's Yakuza 5 for North American release. You know, this comes as no surprise. We've talked here on the show quite a bit about how it was, you know, pretty unlikely that we were going to get Yakuza 5 released here. This sucks. It's awful. I'm very sad about it. But, you know, there has been some discussion that we may still see a Western release for Ishin. So I think that's the one that we all need to pin our hopes on now.
How come you didn't call it Ryugagototu? Oh, crap. Ryugaga Toku Ishin. How come you called it Yakuza Ishin? I know that's what Silicon Era used, but you made a big point of being like, oh, it's not called Yakuza Resurrection, because that's just an unofficial translation of it.
Did you say resurrection instead of restoration? Learn so, about Japanese news, history, fool.
In other Final Fantasy crossover news, Lightning from 13 fame will be available in A Realm Reborn during a full-time action event, also known as a Fate. And also, if you get Lightning Returns, you can get a Mikote costume.
Oh, wow, that's neat.
And then shields and other types of goodies, weapons from the city-states of A Realm Reborn. So that's kind of cool. I like seeing all this like intermingling of Final Fantasies, and I'm here for that.
Yeah, you know,
it really seems like a good way to leverage Realm Reborn.
I think I made exactly that comment last week, and you know, I still strongly agree with it. The best way to leverage the Final Fantasy property in an MMO, to me, is to actually actively tie it in to these previous iterations.
Well, I mean,
of the series.
You know, people like go apeshit when they can order a DirecTV package for BlizzCon and be like, I got a banner for Diablo 3 and a new little...
Ew!
A new little murky... what are those things called? I don't play World of Warcraft anymore.
Murloc?
A new little Murloc pet. And then, portrait image for StarCraft? Sure, I'll drop some money for that. To be fair, I did drop money to watch one of the BlizzCon streams a couple years back, and it was worth it. Do you want to take this one? Because it's one of your beloveds.
A new Legacy of Kain game has been announced! Except it's a MOBA-style game, free-to-play game.
Well, didn't we kind of assume that's what it was going to be?
You know, yeah. So we talked about this some number of months ago when the Nosgoth trademark was first found. You know, it... Something about the way that it was framed, people immediately knew, like, this isn't going to be a proper Legacy of Kain sequel. It's probably going to be a spinoff of some kind. This sucks. And the Square Enix community director actually came out and said, you know, we're not really ready to talk about this title. We're not ready to announce, but it is a multiplayer experience. It is not a single-player Legacy of Kain game. Please temper your expectations. The official announcement has been made. There is a reveal trailer. This is going to be more of like a third-person, like, deathmatchy sort of with classes, almost Team Fortress-style experience set in the Legacy of Kain lore in Nosgoth, where you'll choose, you know, what faction you are, if you're like a human or a vampire, and like what class you're going to be, so what kind of skills you're going to have. Like, am I like a sniper, or am I like a weapons fighter, or like, am I a demon bat or a wolf vampire? And, you know, just battle it out. So I have to say, like, in case you
League
can't
of Legends,
tell,
bro,
I'm actually kind of excited about this game in the context that I really like asymmetric multiplayer online experiences. I really like class systems in these games. So I'm stoked to play it, but I'm also extremely disappointed because I think that Legacy of Kain has one of the best stories in all of gaming.
Wait, you actually care about stories in gaming?
Very rarely, but when they get me, they really get me. You keep looking at your phone. You are that excited about Pokemans.
Well, if it goes up according to Eastern time zone, then we gotta keep this episode moving.
I hope it doesn't now, just to spite you. Wow, I'm cutting off my own nose. Why don't you take this next one, Sidekick?
Sure. Class of Heroes 2 is finally shipping to those who had pre-ordered the UMD. There are apparently some licensing issues with a theme song, which was since replaced. So a updated version is going to also be hitting the PlayStation Network on October 15th. There were alchemy recipe bugs. I'm not too familiar with Class of Heroes 2. I know that it had the Kickstarter that...
Speaking to your mic a little more?
I know it had the Kickstarter that didn't quite make it, but, you know, they still pushed through to,
Yeah, that was for the Super Deluxe package.
Right,
edition.
Right.
Super Deluxe!
So, yeah, I mean, that's cool.
Do the do!
And they're gonna start seeing if, people are interested in a Class of Heroes 3 release, so.
Excellent. Well, fingers crossed on that. Obviously, the more niche Japanese games we get released here in the U.S., the better, even if they are PSP games.
This next one's pretty cool. The developers of Gone Home, which is the Fulbright company, are working on a in-game commentary track. So basically like a DVD extra for the game. That's kind of cool. I've never really heard of that before. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's not typically something
of what?
Of like a commentary, audio commentary track?
Valve does them for a lot of their games, you know, like Portal and what have you. Those are, for me, the first game that I really spotted with this sort of experience was the first Portal game.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
But yeah, so that's totally a thing. And, you know, I'm sure someone out there in Internet Radio Land can further illuminate this question for us. What games do you guys out there in Internet Radio Land like that have commentary tracks? Hashtag Game Buoy Extra. Let us know.
And apparently, according to this article, I didn't realize that Corin Tucker from Sleater-Kinney was involved with that game.
Yes, yes. Well, that's why it has all that really cool Riot Girl music and stuff.
Why haven't I played this yet? I
mean, that's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, I've been super, intending to, but...
Super good.
Yeah.
And you're super into Riot Girl right now, right?
Yeah, of course.
Excellent.
That Julie Ruin record is basically like the best thing I've heard all year.
Yeah, no.
But this isn't Music Buoy. This is Final Fantasy Buoy. Well, sometimes.
Final Fantasy X and Final Fantasy X-2 HD remasters are coming out in Japan on December 26th. This is awesome because we finally have a release date for these HD re-releases that have been announced like literally years ago. Obviously, we will not be getting them this calendar year in the U.S., but since the translation work on these games has in large part been already done, I would expect it in the first half of next year. So that's exciting.
Also exciting from Square Enix is that Dragon Guard 3 is going to be coming to North America next year.
Excellent. I'm very excited about that.
And we talked about that a couple months ago. How long ago was it? But
it was a few months ago.
We probably refer to it as Dragon Dragoon 3. Because...
Very likely. We very likely did. And last but not least tonight, we have news that Yaiba Ninja Gaiden Z is going to be releasing on PC via Steam when it releases in early 2014. You may recall we've talked a good bit about this game in the past when it was initially announced as a game being done by Keiji Inafune-san's Concept Studio.
Right.
So... please look forward to it.
We will.
And with that, it is time for...
News. 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 Oh my god, news. Oh my god, news!
Indeed. So, let's get this kicked off. We have a trio of announcements from Valve involving the ongoing Steambox project.
Trio.
Oh, you just cannot get Pokemon out the brain. Since March 2012, where we initially heard Steam sort of officially confirm that the Steambox would someday be a thing, you know, we've sort of heard this is and that's about it. Well, about 2 weeks ago, they made an announcement on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Like, each day got their own announcement.
Every other day.
I meant of the 3 days I just listed, each day got its own announcement.
Well, it could have been interpreted as every day of that week, so...
I had literally just said Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Okay, tell us.
On the Monday of that week, Valve unveiled the Steam OS, which is, of course, a Linux-based operating system that is designed to run Steam games at, like, super good performance levels and, like, stream stuff from your PC to the computer that is going to be running Steam OS in your living room, presumably... So it's really cool. It's literally, it is frickin' Valve made its own OS for gaming PCs. It's
not
kind
really
of a big
surprising.
Deal.
I mean, not really surprising, but I mean, yes, a big deal.
Then on Wednesday, the Steambox, quote-unquote, was officially announced as Steam Machines, which is a series of differently configured PCs set to run at, you know, sort of different spec levels based on, you know, price point and need and what have you. So this is actually a pretty big deal, and, you know, this is the actual console, so to speak, of Steambox, is Steam Machines.
They look pretty cute in the little, like, picture that I saw of them.
Yeah, yeah, and it's noteworthy that they're all going to be running on SteamOS, obviously. Like, Valve didn't
honestly,
just make this operating
you know,
system
the
for the hell of it.
There's going to be multiple choices to choose from. Kind of makes me inclined to pursue one, maybe. I'll have to see.
You know, my real concern is that people are going to not know what they're doing, buy the cheapest model of Steam Machine, and then not be able to run games on it that are recent. It's like, oh, I got the entry-level Steam Machine. I can't run Crysis. Womp womp.
So, how about that final announcement?
On Friday of that week, Valve revealed the Steam Controller. You've almost certainly, if you're listening to this show, you almost certainly follow gaming enough that you already know about this bizarre-looking gamepad that has trackpads in the place of analog sticks. You know, obviously it's sort of trying to adapt the traditional PC gaming interface to a handheld unit, using dual trackpads, again, rather than analog sticks. It will have native support for games using those pads like sticks, and also inbuilt options in the interface to sort of adapt to a keyboard-mouse combo to sort of emulate that, so that even games like, for example, Civ 5 can be played using these dual trackpads.
At first, I was, like, really confused and weirded out by it, but actually, like, thinking about it, it looks pretty cool. So, yeah, I'm pretty actually excited.
Yeah, I think this is really exciting. Before the end of the year, Valve is going to be sending out 300 Steam Machines and controllers to Steam users through a controlled beta program. I believe they're still taking applications for this beta, so you might want to check out the link we post on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
To Steam and or Joystick, which will link you to Steam so that you can apply and participate. And, you know, if we're real lucky, you can get one of these Steam Machines. Valve has said that there will not be a strict NDA on the information for beta users. So if you get in and you have impressions, please share them with us so we can discuss them here on GameBuoy.
GameBuoy.
Can you take this next
one? Yeah, so this one's pretty cool. Idea Factory, who you probably know best from Hyperdimension Neptunia, is opening an international branch in California. So that's cool to see more, you know, Japanese content being made available. And my understanding is that, the CEO is Mr. Harusato Akenaga, and he was formerly head of Nipponichi Software America. So, you know, they are in good hands.
Yeah, he really leveraged that brand and made it really happen here in North America. So I'm really excited to see what he can do with Idea Factory.
I've never played Hyperdimension Neptunia, but there's a screenshot here on Silicon Era, and it says, "How rude, dude. If we put our minds to it, we can do anything. Remember Chapter 2's event?" That sounds like super meta, and I think I need to play this right now.
Yeah, you know, I go both ways on Idea Factory because I feel like the good games they do are super good. And then the majority of it is like, can we please never talk about this again? So
I also noticed that one of the characters has little, like, D-pads as, like, little barrettes.
That's from Neptunia.
All right. Dragon Quest X is running on a tablet.
Yeah, it's
they're,
sort of
they're working with Docomo.
Are you serious? Yes, it's Docomo. Let's go.
Docomo. I'm going to be like, Aruba, Jamaica. Sorry.
To the Docomo.
Square Enix is working with Docomo to bring Dragon Quest X. Oh my god. You're not editing this out, are you?
No, damn right, no.
So Square Enix is teaming up with Docomo, who is a Japanese telecom company, if you didn't know that, to bring Dragon Quest X to smartphones and tablets. And that's cool.
I'd like to bring your attention to the RPG Cronus Arc. This is a retro JRPG game designed and developed by Kemco. I don't know why I was having such a hard time saying Kemco.
Were you about to say Petco?
Well, I started off, I was going to say Tecmo, and then Petco, and then Docomo. I don't even know.
Yeah, this looks great, though.
But it looks like a really cool game. It's out on Android.
Ew.
Yeah. But I'm really excited. It looks very similar to, like, a cross between, like, Zelda and, like, an early Final Fantasy. Which, you know, that's kind of what I'm here for. So,
yep. If
you have an Android and you can check this game out, let me know if it's any good. Please.
Yeah.
Hit me up, hashtag GameBuoyExtra.
GameBuoyExtra.
Thank you.
In a bittersweet announcement, Nintendo has announced that they are going to be ending production on the Wii. You know, it had a good run.
Well, you know, they finally crossed that 100 million units sold worldwide mark, and they have the Wii U to push, the PlayStation 3 and the PS3. PlayStation 3 and PS3, really, Self? The PlayStation 3...
Well, we don't need to talk about 360.
And the Xbox 360 are both slowing down now. They have their own predecessors, They both have their descendants coming out to the market. And, you know, it's... There's no bit point in keeping the Wii on the market anymore. So Nintendo's cutting production. And, you know, obviously if you're in the market for a Wii, I suspect that you really need to get to the market right now and buy it, because they're not going to be in stores for that much longer.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it had a really good run. I mean, it was the first console since the NES to push that sort of numbers. But I mean, it ended up outselling the NES, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe not.
Moving on. All the way back on September 30th, so this is like, you know, nearly 2 weeks ago, the Wii U got a patch that will allow Wii titles to play on the Wii U gamepad. There is, however, a catch. Because of the way that these games are made, presently you still have to play the game using a Wii remote. So you can use the pad as like a mini monitor in bed or whatever, but you still have to be using a Wiimote to play the game.
It seems like it could be a little awkward for like actual Wii Waggle games, but for like virtual console, it's like, I think that works.
If you ever wanted to play, you know, Super Mario 64 while you were in bed, this is probably going to be the new best way to do that.
Yeah, but maybe playing Twilight Princess in bed.
Yeah, just don't play
Twilight Princess, yeah. There's also cool things about, like, USB keyboard support, Dolby Pro Logic 2 surround sound, which I don't have, and just a lot of, you know, little changes. So go look on the link at GameBuie.org if you want to read more.
GameBuie.org. You know what game series has incredible music?
Mega Man?
Actually, Devil May Cry. Capcom will release a Devil May Cry soundbox with tracks from the first four Devil May Cry games for about the U.S. equivalent of $44 in Japan on December 18th. I baited you a little bit there. Do you know what other series also has really great music?
Devil May Cry?
Mega Man X. Capcom, that same day, is also releasing a Mega Man X soundbox. This is a 12-disc large collection of songs from every Mega Man X game, except for the online NeoWiz RPG. It's going to retail for the Japanese equivalent of $128, and it includes discs of music for Mega Man X, Mega Man X2, Mega Man X3, Mega Man X4, Mega Man X5, Mega Man X6, Mega Man X7, Mega Man X8, Mega Man Extreme, Mega Man Extreme 2, Mega Man X Command Mission, and Mega Man X Maverick Hunter X.
I thought Maverick Hunter X was the PSP.
It is. It's a remake of Mega Man X.
Oh, but with like the remastered.
But it has, yeah, it has different music. So, please look forward to it. And if you're going to be in Japan on December 18th, the day that both of these soundbox collections come out, please buy me the Mega Man X one. I will probably love you for the rest of my life.
This is really neat. A horror game called Vanished is now available on the iOS platforms. And the thing that is cool about this is that it is audio only.
So, oh, yeah?
Yeah, you're placed in a world without light. No memory of how you got there or why the world is the way it is. But you control the game using your accelerometer and your iOS device and your compass and touch screen. And shake to attack. It sounds really clever. And,
it sounds horrifying.
Unfortunately, it's free campaign for being free. I'm sorry, I have Pokemon on the brain. It was available for free for a while, but now it's 99 cents, so.
Oh, gosh. You know, I still really want to play it, so I'll probably pick it up.
$1, it sounds cool.
I guess that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
The Last of Us is going to have story DLC with a new character this winter.
Cool. I still need to play that, yeah.
It sort of does what it says on the tin. I have not put in as much time on that game as I think would be appropriate. I need to go back to it at some point. It didn't grab me super hard, But again, you know, I only gave it a couple hours. Maybe I need to give it more time to bake.
So, Arc System Works and Atlas have teased a little bit more about the Persona 4 Arena sequel, which is called P4U, Persona 4, the Ultimax Ultra Suplex Hold.
It's best name.
It's currently only available, well, not available, it's currently only planned for arcade. We don't know if any
console ports... And in Japan.
Yeah. But we don't know if any console ports are going to be happening. There's going to be three new characters. There is going to be Persona 3 stars Yukari Takeba and Junpei Iori, along with Sho Minazuki, who does not come from a previous game, so maybe Persona 5?
Well, and on a related note, Atlas additionally hinted at a new Persona-related project at the website p-ch.jp, a teaser site featuring Persona series developer P Studios' logo alongside a date in November, which is the 24th, as well as a list of cities in Japan. Please look forward to it. We don't know what it is, and there are many of us that are hoping it's going to be Persona 5.
Yeah, I wouldn't be super surprised. So 3DS sales have officially surpassed the Wii sales in Japan only. 3DS has sold, as of this article, which was September 25th, so a couple of weeks old, 3DS has sold 12.7 million units, and the Wii sold 12.6 million units. Well, 12,752,731 for 3DS, 12,698,878 for Wii.
Yeah, and you know, especially with Pokemon coming out today, in fact, like in Japan right now, people are already playing because LOL time zones. You better believe that they've probably almost certainly moved several hundred thousand more 3DSs.
And, you know, Monster Hunter 4 also is a big cause of sales. The week that they were talking about, September 16th, there were a total of total hardware sales for that week were only 187,000-ish, and 160,000-ish of those were all 3DSs.
Excellent. That is, I mean, you know, obviously that implies
it also, I think a lot of people forget that the Wii's biggest numbers were outside of Japan.
Oh, well, certainly. I mean, are there people that don't realize that?
Well, I think people are like, N-n-n-n-n-n-n.
The only people who
But those
shit,
aren't Game Boy listeners.
The only people who shit on Nintendo's numbers are people who don't know anything about Nintendo. Like, I'm sorry, Nintendo is not doomed. Even if the Wii U flops super hard, unless the 3DS somehow becomes something other than the smash hit that it became, Nintendo is still going to be good for a really long time. Like, the DS was enormous, the Wii was enormous, the 3DS is enormous.
2DS might not be as enormous, but...
Doesn't really matter, it's just still a part of the 3DS family, and, you know, it's not even launching in Japan. Like, ain't nobody even got time for the 2DS right now. 2DS, bringing that to me.
You're gonna go pick one up tomorrow, and you know it.
Maybe, I might.
You'll also get a copy of Pokemon Y so you can trade with yourself.
This is some cool information from the Tokyo Game Show, which we talked about last week, you may recall. Project EF-12 is a free, fully customizable 3D fighting game engine. This sort of does exactly what it says on the tin. It's open source-ish, super customizable, entry level. Like, hey, if you're making games and you want to make a fighting game, come use our 3D game engine, dog.
That sounds like kind of right up your alley.
Yeah, like, that's super awesome. They were demoing it with, like, sort of play-alike characters to, you know, like, Virtual Fighter, Tekken characters, just to show people, like, yeah, this is a real cool thing. And as far as I know, it was well-received, so fingers crossed, hopefully we'll get more support for this worldwide, including in the U.S.
Yeah.
Why don't you do this next one, Slagkick?
So this is some Chinese labor controversy news. But not about gold farmers. It's
I thought you were going to say Chinese controversy realness.
No, that's almost a little offensive. I'm serving Chinese controversy realness.
Chinese controversy couture.
Darling. No, this is actually really sad because...
No, it's actually quite awful. Let me just say, We're bringing the levity here a little bit because this is actually pretty dark.
So Foxconn is a electronic manufacturing company in China, and they had been hiring student interns to work night shifts and overtime to assemble the PS4, which violates the company's labor policy. Now, apparently, Foxconn is already pretty controversial, and their defense is kind of like, oh, well, these interns are volunteering, so they can stop working at any time. But they also said, oh, you know, we'll like make sure that we're in full compliance, blah, blah, blah. And so Games in Asia is unclear as to whether they are being paid for the work or if it's just, like, college credit, but, yeah.
It's pretty dicey. You know, obviously, Foxconn does not have a very good human rights record. They clearly, you know,
probably
they've had
have
a lot of suicide. Probably
don't have a human rights campaign record.
They have had a lot of suicides
oh, really?
On their site working on Apple products. We don't really talk about that a lot here on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
But, you know, Foxconn is a very problematic company. I think it's very interesting that this stuff is going on with regard to the production of the PlayStation 4. Like, I mean, I think we all know that Sony's going to sell as many PlayStation 4s as they can ship out the door. The buzz on that thing is so strong right now.
Yeah.
But it's just really sad to see that they're going to these extremes. Like, this is not a good thing. And, you know, Foxconn has a record for this sort of thing. It's really surprising to me that Sony would have gone to them with this huge work order that obviously was going to push more sort of inhumane work habits in the workplace. So I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, but in some fun news to brighten the news up a bit, Rabbids Big Bang is going to be coming to iOS and Android on October 17th. It's a physics-based game where you...
Is it Edogame?
No. And it's also not a K-pop game, Big Bang. But it is where you control a jetpack-equipped Rabbid, and you go around planets in collecting coins. I'm all here for physics-based games, and it's only going to be $1. So, you know, I'll pay $1 for Rabbids and physics. That sounds cool. In other news, this one's kind of sad.
You're kind of sad.
Rude. Two Tribes was originally going to be bringing a level editor to the Wii U version of Tokitori 2.
Tokitori 2 Plus.
Well, it was going to be the Plus update. Yeah. But they won't be receiving that feature, they being Wii U owners of the game, because the game did not sell well on Wii U. So it's basically another case of, oh, poor sales equals not having features.
Well, you know, it's really worth mentioning here. This is actually a deeper story than that, because there was also some discussion that, you know, Two Tribes was trying to talk to Nintendo and to Valve/Steam to allow levels designed on Steam to be sent over to people's Wii U games. So they did try to find a little bit of compromise. Nintendo did find this discussion agreeable, but unfortunately they weren't able to implement anything timely. And paired with the poor sales, they just decided to go this route for now. And in the future, if it becomes viable to get this pipeline in place, we could still see some amount of Wii U and Steam interactivity down the line, much like what is on the PlayStation 3 with Portal 2.
Yeah. And they also wanted to try and use Miiverse for level sharing, and just that really wasn't going to be working out. So, yeah, you know, it's not too, like, doom and gloom, but to apologize for that, they're offering Steam keys, so... Just kind of a little bit of a fuck you, but also, you know...
I don't think that it is. I think this is the perfect in-between, like...
Not to Nintendo.
See, I still disagree. I think this is the best way to handle it, because Nintendo will not have unhappy fans. Two Tribes won't have unhappy fans. Everyone gets what they want. Like,
yeah.
Now I am more inclined... I didn't buy this game. I was gonna, but so many things came out, I never got around to it. Now I'm like, maybe I'll buy that, and then I'll get a...
Well,
Steam
is it
going to
only be for people who bought it before a certain
Two
point?
Tribes will manually message players with a Steam key, doing so, quote-unquote, as long as we feel is necessary.
Oh, huh.
So to me, I want to support these guys now. Because of this, I want to support them. In similar Steam news, the Stanley Parable demo will be hitting Steam
on October 17th.
It's actually out presently already in advance of the game's release on October 17th. This was built on a Half-Life 2 mod project from 2011. It is a brief, narrated experience that reflects on player choice and free will within an office setting.
That sounds relevant to your interests.
I have heard people, well-known games journalists, describing this game as the best interactive experience of 2013.
Well, I'll have to check it out, at least the demo.
Yeah, I would definitely would advise it.
So, the news you've been waiting for at least a decade, probably more, is finally coming true. Final Fantasy VI is getting a remake!
What?
For iOS and Android.
Why would you... Womp, 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 womp.
Yeah, so you know the mobile remakes we've been saying? The mobile remakes we've been seeing for other Final Fantasies.
Yeah, like that Astacular remake that we saw of Final Fantasy V. With the really awful, like, flat-shaded sprites and stuff.
Yeah, so there's going to be one for 6, and Square Enix producer Takashi Tokita said that, you know, there's going to be alterations, like, for instance, grinding was an issue, and people had to spend a lot of time leveling up. Now on the mobile devices, the battle systems have been adjusted, so you don't have to fight as much, and you can enjoy the game for what it is. So basically, taking the JRPG out of a JRPG.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, I'm actually really not looking forward to this. Okay, Final Fantasy VI is easily broken, particularly in the second half of the game. I get it. And if for the first half of the game, you tend to have to do a little bit of grinding to get through. And you know, I mean,
yeah,
you
I had to grind
to,
on the on up on that mountain thingy.
Whoa, you was grinding up on a mountain?
Oh, I was grinding a mountain, hey. No, but, you know, up before that fight that changes.
No, I know what you're talking about. And so, you know, I get the idea for for making a more casual, Subway-friendly experience. I get it. I get why you'd do this. I just don't find it ideal. I think that the gameplay systems on 6 and how bendable and breaky they are, to me, that enhances the experience. And a little bit of the payoff is having to grind first to get there. So I feel like this is, you know, you're messing with perfection here. Like, the game is already perfect. Just port it. Like, give me as straight up a port as possible. That's what I want for Final Fantasy VI. I do not want these flat shaded sprites. I do not want these gameplay tweaks. Give me something that will replace Final Fantasy VI Advance on Game Boy Advance as the optimal version of Final Fantasy VI.
So basically
VI
just
to play.
One with HD redrawn sprites and fully orchestrated music.
Otherwise, just give me a straight port that works correctly and we're good.
Speaking of things not working correctly, well, I mean, that's not quite the accurate way to say it, but Ubisoft has announced that they are not going to be bringing DLC for Assassin's Creed 4 to the Wii U version. So another hashtag giving up on Wii U.
Yeah, that's really sad. I'm really disappointed to hear this. You know, I've been saying here on the show for a long time that I was planning on buying Assassin's Creed 4 for Wii U. And now I'm a little bit on the fence. Some of the Assassin's Creed DLC tends to be a lot of fun. And I'm a little bit disappointed that I'm not going to be able to experience that content if I'm playing on Wii U. Like, that's a real downer.
I was not a fan
downer.
Of 3, but all of the DLC for
the two trilogy,
which I still think is, like, some of the best gaming of the past decade. But
That's definitely a highlight of this generation for me, is the Assassin's Creed 2 games.
So I'm optimistic about 4, but, you know, unfortunately, at this point, I'll probably be picking it up on PS3, since I'm not getting a PS4 right away.
Yeah. You know, related to that news that Dragon Quest X was coming to smartphones and tablets, do you know what else is coming to smartphones and tablets?
Final Fantasy VI!
Well, that's also true, but no, we've already talked about that. Dragon Quest 1-8.
Oh.
You know, the really interesting thing here is we have seen portable remakes of Dragon Quest 1-7 on the DS and 3DS and Game Boy Color to this point. This is the first time Dragon Quest VIII, itself previously a PlayStation 2 game, this is the first time that's getting ported. So this is fairly exciting, good news. Of course, we have not yet gotten an announcement in North America for Dragon Quest VII's 3DS remake. This is a point of ire for many gamers out there who really want to give Dragon Quest a go and, you know, find the game's not coming out here.
Yeah.
My hope is that through these smartphone ports that we'll get North American releases of at least 7 and 8 so that, you know, we can play them on the go and, you know, just have a good time. These are great games.
Yeah, also hidden in this article is an announcement of Dragon Quest Monsters Superlight coming to iOS and Android.
Oh, yeah, and the website for Dragon Quest Monsters Superlight describes it as a quote-unquote Superlight RPG. I'm hoping it's not something in the vein of Final Fantasy All the Bravest.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I liked the original Dragon Quest Monsters game.
You know, when I told you about this next news story, Dragon Quest Monsters were great. All of them. Even Joker. When I told you about this news story, you seemed really excited. Do you want to take it?
Yeah, there is a ColecoVision iOS app Kickstarter. So, Rant Media Games, who made the official Vectrex regeneration app, they are seeking $250,000 on Kickstarter to create a ColecoVision app. And I mean, I think that's really neat. You know, ColecoVision was pretty well loved back in the day. And I believe, like, a lot of the best ports of certain games were available for that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's generally my understanding. I don't have a lot of experience with ColecoVision, which is part of why I'm really excited for this app, and, you know, I really want to back this, because this is a Kickstarter.
Yeah, and so it includes 19 games, including all of these. Antarctic Adventure, Blackjack / Poker.
Bump and Jump, Brain Strainers, Destructor, Fortune Builder, Frenzy, Jumpman.
Which is unfortunately not a Mario game.
Right? Jumpman Jr., Jungle Hunt, Montezuma's Revenge.
Ooh, better take an Imodium.
Miss Space Fury, Pepper Girl. 2, Space Fury, Super Action Boxing, Super Action Football, Super Action Baseball, Super Action Soccer, and Zaxxon.
Zaxxon what?
Well, you know, Zaxxon, like the classic Sega game.
Zaxxon what?
Oh, I see what you did there. All right, well, yeah, so obviously if you're interested in Vectrex Regeneration's ColecoVision app, you can find a link to their Kickstarter on Joystick, which you can find a link to on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Now, this is something I found really quite fascinating. THQ has filed suit against EA and UFC, alleging that EA fed inside information to UFC's owner so that negotiations between THQ and UFC would break down in the last days of THQ.
EA, THQ, UFC, OMG.
Oh, snaps. You know, I'm not going to go too far into this story. Either you're already very interested and you're going to look it up yourself, or this is all a bunch of legal mumbo-jumbo and you don't care. But the TLDR version, basically, is that, you know, THQ has filed suit alleging that, you know, it had provided EA with detailed financial information back in 2011 when EA was considering purchasing THQ. Largely, you know, at the time claiming to get at that UFC license that THQ held. And THQ is alleging that after EA backed out of this agreement and these talks, that they took this financial information and used it themselves to leverage against the UFC license. This would obviously constitute an unfair business practice in, you know, pretty much anyone's purview. So it'll be real interesting to see how this goes. This suit was filed in the Delaware District Court, and this is a story that you can expect to hear more about here on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org. So I usually, you know, don't like to use the direct headlines, but this one's so cute that I have to. A new Harvest Moon is en route to 3DS. This is going to be called Harvest Moon Tsunagari Shintenshi, which they translate as linking the new world or connecting new lands. What would your translation of that be? Or are you like, I don't even know?
I couldn't really tell you. I had to take some cold medicine, and I'm a little loopy.
Oh, that's unfortunate. So, yes, of course, that'll be coming from Marvulus. Why can't I ever say their name right? I guess
because you're basic. Well, Hashtag basic.
And I had to take some of that cold medicine, too. So, that's cute. You know, Harvest Moon's always a good time. We have some news that the Square Enix Collective has partnered with Indiegogo to open some old IDOS IP.
Oh, wow, yeah?
Yeah, so basically what's happening, they're partnering with Indiegogo for an indie development curation program called the Square Enix Collective, which allows creators to post their ideas on this site, this community site, and people will vote on it. And then if Square Enix approves the pitches, they'll be taken to Indiegogo to raise money for development.
You know, this is really exciting to me, because when you look at some of the IDOS properties, some of the intellectual properties that IDOS owns, you have some really just world-class IP that nobody is doing anything with. I would love to see someone use this platform, the Square Enix Collective, to pitch like a new Legacy of Kain game, or a new Pandemonium game, or even like a new Gex game. I feel like there's some real potential here. I'm really interested in seeing how this turns out.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of unprecedented from as far as I know.
Yeah, I cannot think of another instance where something like this has happened. I think that Square Enix is leveraging their IDOS properties in a really interesting way. I'm very, very excited to see how this goes moving forward, because again, it's very unusual, as you said.
Indeed. You want to take this last one?
Well, we actually have two more. First off, we have a remake of the Gabriel Knight games, headed to PC, Mac, and mobile in 2014. This will be to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the original release of the classic point-and-click adventure game, Gabriel Knight, Sins of the Fathers.
Ooh, hey.
So please look forward to it. This is obviously
kind of like a dirty video. A video nasty.
This is obviously the return of a classic. It's very exciting, and I'm really looking forward to it. So, you know, yeah. Probably all of you out there in Internet Radio Land are too. This is very much like a Game Buoy type title.
Game Buoy type title.
I'm not going to do that one, would you? And last, but most certainly not least, we have a very, very interesting circumstance that has come up between Tomo Inc. and SNK Playmore. You may recall that Tomo and SNK Playmore have a licensing agreement in place for the device, the Neo Geo X Gold. We've talked about this quite a few times over the years here on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org!
That was a weird one. But basically, last week on October 2nd, SNK Playmore put out a press release saying that the licensing and distribution agreement between Tomo and SNK Playmore was terminated effective that day. And basically that all of the hardware and software is going to have to come back in and be destroyed. People aren't going to be able to buy it anymore. It was certainly not going to be manufactured anymore. This is relatively straightforward as these things go. Except Tomo denies that there was any breach of contract as cited by SNK Playmore, and Tomo insists that they're going to continue producing, manufacturing, and selling these items through 2006 as per their licensing agreement. There has not yet been any suit filed. I kind of expect that this will go in that direction. For now, this remains a very strange story, and if you're interested in a Neo Geo X, I might advise you to act now, because they may come off shelves sooner rather than later.
I'm sorry, did you mean 2016? You said 2006.
Oops, yes, 2016.
So now, in what is becoming a regular Game Buoy segment, Nintendo
Direct.
So there was a Nintendo Direct on October 1st. What a lovely birthday present for me. And all types of fun news coming from this Nintendo Direct. there was an announcement that the Bravely Default Collector's Edition and art book will be headed to Europe. So that's good news for Europeans.
That had a release date, too, didn't
December
it?
December 6th, yep.
Excellent.
So that's quite lovely. I'm so glad that that's finally, you know, moving forward with a Western release. Because why didn't Bravely Default come into America? It's been 3 months. Blah, blah. My name's Kotaku.
You don't need to shade Kotaku like that. We're better than that now.
Sometimes.
You know, one that bit of information from this direct that I found very interesting was that Zelda, A Link Between Worlds, will let you tackle the dungeons in the game non-linearly. You're going to be able to go to a shop in the game world and rent out or purchase, based on how many rupees you can afford, sort of the dungeon-specific special items that you, in previous Zelda games, would get within the dungeon to use to solve it. And so in this way, whatever, you know, weapon you have on hand, like, oh, that's a dungeon you can clear.
That's super cool, and that's the type of thinking outside of the box that I want to see from this franchise. And
yeah.
Basically everything that Onuma-san has been saying about where he wants to take the Zelda franchise has me super, super excited.
Yeah, I'm actually really, again, similar to you, I'm very excited to see something a little different happening in this series. I think that Zelda largely stagnates a lot in, you know, sort of from release to release. I feel like the formula has not changed very much. So I'm very, very excited to hear.
Yeah, that's always been an opinion of mine, especially as compared to the Mario franchise, which keeps evolving and growing in wonderful ways.
I completely agree. So I'm really excited to see how this is going to play, because obviously, you know, we hear these things and it sounds good, but the proof will really be in the pudding.
I'm sorry, I thought you were going to move on because I didn't expect you to actually be talking about a Zelda game.
Well, it's pretty infrequent that a Zelda game looks good. So, I had to talk on this one.
Girl. In another franchise that we all love, well, I believe that most of you out there probably love, there's a new Kirby game coming to 3DS next year. And okay, we're not going to do that anymore, but I'm always happy for a new Kirby game. I feel like people maybe have been like, oh, the Kirby games lately have been too childish, but no, they're actually really good. Epic Yarn is really, really a cute game.
I think it's a brilliant game. It's you know, it's a little too straightforward for me, a little too easy, but it's beautiful.
It is.
It's fun. I think that Nintendo put something really special together there. I think they always do with Kirby. In a lot of ways, I would say that Kirby is typically Nintendo's most experimental franchise.
It really is.
You see stuff like Kirby Squeak Squad and...
Yep, all those,
Oh yeah, I have a Kirby poster on my wall. So, it's very exciting.
Yes. Unfortunately, Sonic Lost World has been delayed in North America, but just for a week. So instead of October 22nd...
Speak into your mic a little more.
Instead of October 22nd, it will now be available on October 29th.
Excellent. That's not very far away. I'm very excited
for it. And thankfully, that's right around payday.
I know, right? I was thinking that same thing. The first Pikmin 3 paid DLC mission pack is now available. It is $1.99.
That's not bad.
And the same day that this paid mission DLC pack went up, they also pushed a game update through that will show the top global scores for each challenge mission in the game. So this is really cool. I really like these sort of leaderboard ideas, and I'm always here for that. So I need to probably put Pikmin 3 back in my Wii U finally.
Yeah. The Wii U gamepad is going to get a horizontal stand that comes with Wii Party U. And so it's going to be making it easier to play one of the mini games that's in that game. I can almost bet that this is going to influence the design of the next Mario Party for Wii U.
Yeah, I would be shocked if it didn't. I feel like Wii Party is basically just Mario Party without the Mario skin. So,
yeah, it's basically like let's do some testing and experimenting with the Miis so that when we actually put up Mario Party, we've kind of honed our craft.
It's super polished and super good, yeah.
There are Mario and Luigi themed Wii Remote Plus peripherals coming out on November 1st.
That's exciting. You know, these things, they're kind of ugly. It's like a red Wiimote and a green Wiimote, one for Mario, one for Luigi.
And then the backside is blue, like it's like their overalls.
I don't really think they look that good, but I could use more Wiimote with plus motions.
Right, and it'll kind of cool to go with my like Zelda Skyward Sword one.
Yeah, well, that thing looks super classy.
It really does. It's my main Wiimote.
Yeah, mine too.
We found out a little more about the Street Pass relay points. They have been upgraded, and functionality has been improved, or will be improved soon. And they're going to be, you know, planning more content distribution. And actually, some of that's already started. There was a fedora chair in Animal Crossing New Leaf at the beginning of the month. There will be a sushi platter on October 15th. I might have to log in and get that, because I have a Japanese-themed house, but all my favorite animals probably moved away, so... So they're also going to be planning content for games like Super Mario 3D Land, Kid Icarus Uprising, and Mario Kart 7. So, I mean...
Oh, that's really exciting.
That goes back to, like, early days, so...
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And they also give a sales figure of 3DS Street Pass games. They made $4 million in a month. And that was news back from August, but they just mentioned that. And that's good to see that Street Pass is becoming a popular thing now. So, with that... It's time for Doom and Gloom. So, EA North Carolina will be having its doors shuttered. It was a freemium extension of the EA All Play label. Its most recent property was Monopoly Hotels. So, you know, LOL mobile social games, but it's always sad when a studio closes. That means people out of work.
Yeah, that's really, really, really unfortunate. I'm really sorry to hear that. Even though, again, as you said, this studio didn't really do anything that I was particularly invested in. It's still really sad when people go out of work when a studio closes. So hopefully we here at GameBuoy Studios, you know, we hope that things work out well for you guys. We're so sorry to hear this. You know what else is super sad? Is we have a report here that there was a Day of the Tentacle remake in the works at LucasArts before Disney shut them down. You know, this actually, to me, this is like insult to injury on the entire LucasArts shutdown. Apparently this remake was about 80% done, and it hadn't been finalized for retail release or anything. Like, this thing maybe never would have seen light of day if not for the shutdown. We don't know. But certainly the shutdown didn't help. You know, for me, this is a big wound personally, since when the LucasArts shutdown occurred, you know, my immediate cries were, you know, somebody think of Day of the Tentacle, and also Grim Fandango, obviously.
Yeah.
So this is a real sad one. I'm very sad about it.
I mean,
it.
I guess at least they got that Monkey Island remake out. And with that, it's time to talk about...
I said, hey, what's going on?
And I play, oh my god, did I play? I played a lot of games for my Wii U.
Whoa, well played, my friend. Did you, in fact, play a lot of Wii U games this week?
Well, I played a lot of Virtual Console, but I'll probably save that for our Castlevania discussion.
So, why don't you tell me what games you played, and then we can talk about playing them tomorrow when we record.
Well, on my Wii U, I played Castlevania 3, and Castlevania Rondo of Blood. Well, I guess that would really be Dracula X, wouldn't it? Because it's the Japanese release.
Excellent. That's very exciting, actually. Rondo's a great game. All of those are great games, but Rondo in particular.
And then, because I don't want to give spoilers for our episode tomorrow, I've been playing Zelda Wind Waker HD.
Oh, excellent. Tell me about that a little bit. I haven't played it yet.
So, you know, obviously I remember that game very fondly, and, you know, like, I obviously know what happens in the game, but I just got to Windfall Island, and I was realizing that when I was playing in the Forsaken Fortress 2 that I was like, I kind of don't remember my way around the Forsaken Fortress, so that's kind of cool. I mean, it's been a while since I played it, and I mean, I remember enough that, you know, I remember, like, you know, it's not like it's something I've never played before, but, you know, I don't even, like, remember all the stuff I'm supposed to do on Windfall Island. I just met Tingle, and I thought of our Tingle cast, by the way, but, I'm like, I remember having to do stuff, and you have to, like, talk to those kids on the island, and then there's, like, the school teacher, and then there's the guy who's like, oh, my daughter's captured, but also use the auction house. But, I mean, it's so beautiful. First, I've also been playing it a lot on my gamepad, so I kind of feel like, oh, I'm not enjoying, like, the HD majesty of it, but, I mean, it still is so great. It controls really well. And, you know, I'm just really happy that this gem, like, I never would have thought that Wind Waker would have gotten a remake, so, I mean, I'm just over the moon about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the few Zelda games that I really stand for super hard, so I'm excited to hear that they did well.
And, you know, the
first
time I loaded it up, I was kind of, like, waiting for, ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the Game Boy Video Game Podcast. Hashtag Game Boy Extra. When you loaded up Wind Waker HD, did you expect Captain Spike to say, ahoy, mateys? And speaking of Captain Spike, what you been playing?
I am currently playing Castlevania Order of Ecclesia, which I've played a couple of times previously, so I'm not going to talk about that right now. That's really something to talk about tomorrow. Something I did want to talk about that I played in between this episode and last is I finished The Wonderful 101 for Wii U. I'm also not going to talk about that too much here. I'm going to direct any and all of you listeners out there who care too much to hear me talk about The Wonderful 101 to download Koopa Club's most recent episode. They did a look at Wonderful 101. They devoted an entire episode to it. And they were kind enough to let me come and be a guest on their show and talk to them just about Wonderful 101. Obviously, we talked a lot about Platinum Games as well. I'm a huge fan of that studio, as you must know if you listen to GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
So please, please, please look forward to it. That episode is up now, and I would highly recommend that you listen to it.
Yeah, it's a really good episode.
Excellent, thank you. I'm sure those guys appreciate hearing that, too. They put on a hell of a show. Of course, we'll shout them out later and have one of them on as a guest tomorrow. So please look forward to that, too.
Yep. On and with that.
Well played. Let's do it to it.
Smash or trash?
Well, actually, it's just a smash this week.
Yeah, it was Slag Kick's responsibility to find trash because he's a trashy ho, and he failed his job.
No, I found the trash. It's sitting right across from me at Game Buoy Studios.
I appreciate the effort at shade, poor as it may be, but I did my job.
So this is a great article from Kotaku about how LucasArts fell apart, kind of speaking of LucasArts with Dave the Tentacle just a minute ago. Yeah. I almost said Day of the Testicles, so I had to kind of recover there. It's a really well-written piece. Of course, I kind of nerd out about the part that talks about the development of 1313, which was going to be the Boba Fett game. I am one of those people who has an irrational love of Boba Fett, even though like he has only a few appearances, and I don't even get into the expanded universe stuff super much, so I remember being a kid and thinking his armor looked super cool. But seriously, 1313 looks like it was going to be a really cool game.
Mandalorian battle armor does look pretty cool, let's be fair.
Yeah, it really does. But, all the little sneak peeks that we had been getting at 1313 looks pretty damn cool. And so, I mean, that was a disappointment.
Yeah, that's really sad. But this article, man, it's superb. I have to give credit where credit is due. You know, there's a lot of anti-Kotaku bias and sentiment out there. And, I mean, we have propagated it ourselves, and I think it's certainly warranted. You know, I mean, I say that there's a lot of it out there, but, I mean, they deserve every drop of it for the most part.
Yeah.
That having been said, credit where it's due, this is a superbly researched, well-written, and quite in-depth look at the trials and tribulations of LucasArts in their last days, and I wholeheartedly recommend that you take a look at it if you're interested.
They also talk about Day of the Tentacle, like we just covered, and, it's really well organized, too. You know, it's just like a proper article. It's not just like a little blurby news thing. You know, it's well-organized. I mean, I'm not to get too much into the, like, meta part of the journalism of it, but, you know, I mean, it's just a well-written article, so.
Yeah. I'm really impressed in any event.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think with that, it's time to start looking at our social links. Do you got those ready, Slykick?
I do.
All right, well, why don't you slap them on me?
I don't think I'm going to be slapping anything on you.
That is super gross. Please don't ever go there again.
So, this week's social links question of the week was, this week we're talking about the Castlevania series. Which is your favorite and why? So we got some tweets. These tweets are starting from Twitter user NS Broom. He says, I have a confession to make. I have never played more than 5 minutes of any Castlevania game. That's not quite my experience, but I have a similar experience that I'll talk about on Part B. But I kind of loved this little Twitter discussion that followed. Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio and the Voice of Geeks Network said, oh, you have a homework assignment this weekend, young man. And then...
of course Rob Roberts would say that. That bitch, 80.
Ah! Fix Your Face, also known as Jeremy from Koopa Club, said, I'm half tempted to gift you Castlevania on the 3DS eShop. Aw. And then NS Broom replied to Sky saying, oh, I'll see what I can do. And then to Fix Your Face saying, I don't count on you spending money on a stranger like me, but I wouldn't say no either. It's better than a ROM. I agree. And then Fix Your Face offered some eShop credits, so it's very sweet to see the GameBuoy community banding together in the name of games.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Twitter user LeopardChan5, better known as SeaWolfJason, responded that the answer to both questions is the one with the werewolf, because there's a werewolf. And then you replied, presumably you mean Legacy
you
of Darkness.
You being me, being Captain Spike.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was, sorry, yeah, I was looking at Captain Spike. Captain Spike, you replied, presumably you mean Legacy of Darkness. And then SeaWolfJason replied, yes, that is the title, but it was more of a troll. 3 is his all-time favorite, with Symphony of the Night, and 2 close behind. Good choices.
Yeah, those are all superb games.
Twitter user Alak Tloj, which is better known as Space Pirate Ben. Did I call Jason SeaWolfJason or Sea Pirate?
I think you called him SeaWolfJason.
Good, because he's SeaWolfJason.
He's a SeaWolf.
So Space Pirate Ben said, I will always be a fan of Simon's Quest. Aria and Dawn of Sorrow were a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Sorrow games, we're going to talk about those for a hot minute tomorrow. In fact, the Soma Cruise games, those are superb. They have a really even still devoted fan base on even like Tumblr and stuff. So please look forward to that.
We also got some Facebook comments on our Facebook page. Jeremy from Koopa Club said, Super Castlevania... Four.
Now, for the Facebook version of this question, we added an additional note.
Do you want me to add that Facebook bonus question?
Well, I mean, it's going to be important for people to know if they're listening to this.
So, we asked, do you prefer Metroidvania or Original Recipe?
Now go.
Now I'm hungry for some KFC. So, Jeremy
from... I'm always hungry for some KFC.
Yeah, true. So, Jeremy from Koopa Club said, Super Castlevania 4 for me will always be the apex. I appreciate what Symphony of the Night did for the series, but at the same time, I feel that they never quite got the game designs for exploration-based games completely right. That's not to say that I don't enjoy the DS entries, but I'm sick of them, TBH. Original Recipe, please.
You know, it's interesting that Jeremy says that. We had a discussion on this very point, as I recall, during the Super Metroid episode of Koopa Club, on which I had guessed it.
Oh, that's right.
And I think that Jeremy had said, and I think I agreed, that the level designs of the Metroidvania Castlevania games is significantly less organic and thought out compared to sort of the contemporaneously released Metroid games. And I don't disagree. Obviously,
well, Metroid's like the fucking best. Hello.
Yeah. And you know what? We'll obviously get into this discussion to some great degree tomorrow. But I just wanted to comment on Jeremy's letter, so.
Yes. Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, Boardhouse, and the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. You owe me a good shout-out on OLR. said, I think I'll always have a soft spot for Simon's Quest. Let's be real, that's kind of where the Metroidvania thing started. And gods, I love the soundtrack. What type of, like, 13-year-old pagan Tumblr user is he right now?
To be fair, I actually agree with him. I think that's a really common sentiment, too. That music was great. I know you're talking about gods. I'm commenting on the actual comment from our listener, whom we're lucky to have.
Yes. I mean, like, Bloody Tears was the first appearance in... Let's not get into details. Blah, 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 blah. Okay,
we'll talk about it tomorrow.
He still has
Great feedback. Thank you, Rob.
Yes. He still has more, though. It says, I prefer Metroidvania, even if I think that they maybe tried to strike it rich a few too many times with that.
You had me until that line.
Francisco Yu said that I haven't played a Castlevania game. Never really called out to me. So interesting.
Interesting. I hope you still listen to this show that we record tomorrow. And, you know, maybe you'll become interested. Otherwise, you know, maybe it's not for you.
I mean, just a little sneak peek for the next part. You know, I never was really drawn to Castlevania either for reasons I will talk about in part B. Stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned for that.
And at this time, there have been no Google Pluses or Tumbles, so...
Rude.
Let's be fair, they're kind of flop social networks.
Yeah, they really are.
I mean, Tumblr's basically just for sexy fan art.
All right, well, since we have a what is almost certain to be multi-hour discussion coming tomorrow... I
thought
you
were about to say multi-hour Pokemon play session.
Oh, gosh, one hopes, but... We have a big episode tomorrow in terms
Elite
of content.
Elite Four or best tonight.
So, unless you have anything else to add, I think it's time to wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up.
That's not I wanted it to be.
As always, listeners, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
We live for your feedback.
We love and live for your feedback.
You're really off tonight.
No, I was just going to be like, hey.
Of course, your iTunes subscriptions and ratings/reviews are deeply important to us. We really, really like your Facebook likes.
Your Facebook likes are something that we like.
We fucking love Twitter.
Twitter fucking we love.
You can, of course, tweet us at gamebuoy.org. The .org is spelled out, D-O-T-O-R-G.
At gamebuoy.org. The .org is spelled out, D-O-T-O-R-G.
You can tweet at me personally. I'm Captain Spike at Spike Point.
You can tweet at him personally. He's Captain Spike.
Stop
at
doing
Spike
what you're
Point.
Doing. This is stop doing what you're doing. What is your Twitter?
At Slagkick.
Delightful.
I thought you were going to repeat that.
No. We only do that for the show, not us.
Gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy.org. Of course, you can also find us on Tumblr. What's our Tumblr?
Gamebuoy.tumblr.com.
You can also plus one us on Google Plus.
Don't even ask.
just search for Game Buoy Podcast.
You know, Google Plus is supposed to be rolling out like easy URLs, like it's about time, but that's on a rollout basis.
Yeah, welcome to MySpace circa 2003, like geez.
Mine is myspace.com/70128-7345.
I hope someone punches that in and gets, like, a computer virus and blames you personally and hunts you down and
murders you. I don't
want
that to happen. Don't wish that on our listener. You can mail us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
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 And, of course, you can find links to all of these on our home base
at gamebuoy.org. Ooh, we're getting Pokemania here. So, Spike... Captain, sir, please give us your shout-outs.
Of course. As ever and always, my first shout-out goes to Koopa Club. If you listen to us and like what we do, I highly recommend you check these guys out. They're great, and, you know, I view them as sort of a sister show to what we do here. I have nothing but the utmost respect for the show those guys put on. I would also like to shout-out to Video Game Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends. VG Realness is an LGBT-focused gaming show, as again is also Koopa Club. I'd also like to shout out to Geek Charisma, a podcast that is everything geek with discussions on movies, DVDs, video games, conventions, and comics. As well as that, I'd like to shout out to Neshoba Talks with you about games. And last, but most certainly not least, please check out Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice, and from whom I steal ever so many of my cues quite blatantly. Slagkick, to whom do you shout out?
I'd like to shout out to Game Bar, the podcast that fills your brain space with hours of gay video game commentary.
I want to take you to a game bar!
I specifically did not interrupt any of your shout-outs.
I didn't interrupt you. I let you finish it. And then I said it between two.
I thought for once you weren't going to do that same old joke. You tired queen.
I found out that someone actually likes it, so you're stuck with it.
Nerdgasm Network, the wildest shock shock video game radio show on the World Wide Web. And you could also go to Video Game Outsiders if you want a podcast about video gaming from the average player's perspective. And then the last two, Girls Gone WoW, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO. And Horde House, the place for all things online gaming, but never too seriously, are both found on the Voice of Geeks Network. That's VogNetwork.com, where you can participate live in podcasts like Horde House and Orange Lounge Radio. With that, thank you so much for tuning in for this big newsapalooza.
Newsapalooza, well done. As always, we really appreciate all of our listener. Thank you for spending your time with us, and we hope you'll come back for tomorrow's recording. In the meantime, keep gaming, keep thinking, and uba wareta kokuin.
What? In other unfortunate news, LucasArts had its ups and downs. You know, it's just as sad to see that that long-running company go the way of the water buffalo.
Water buffaloes are still a thing. Dodos?
Go the way of the dodo, yeah. Is that the saying? God, I don't know. Go the way of the dodrio. Dope!
I'm very passionate about Day of the Tentacle, and I don't think you've ever even played it.
I'm passionate about Day of the Testicle.
I bet. Excuse me, that's rude.
And my fucking laptop is just restarting right now. Okay, so I'm wondering why Facebook wants me to join the following groups. Hairy Daddies, UBWB, United Bears with Beards, Muscle Daddy Bears, Wolf and Harry, Bears, Otters, and Cubs.
I think you need to delete Boyfriend Plus.
You can't break us apart.
It's going too far. I think you're too emotionally invested.
I'm sorry, he listens to me and we have deep conversations, and...
This is an intervention.
I just went shopping for him. I bought him a new scarf. I can't just leave him now.
Please be joking.
I didn't microtransaction it, I just used in-game currency. You're recording, right?
Yeah, but right, I'm recording.
Alright, let's start this, bitch.
That and two midgets shitting in a bucket.
Bitch. It would be funny if Rabbit's Big Bane was a porno.
I'm kind of mad that it's not. Yeah. So what now? How do you feel now?
Gassy.
Ah!
Get that horn out of my face!